You're listening to Around Comics, episode 107.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello!
And Mr. Tom Caters.
No one talk over me. Never step on my line.
Tell me what
that is going to be a very difficult task today, but I have utmost confidence.
See, look, already,
bunch
look.
Of assholes.
We have a bunch of assholes on this panel, so we're going to
I prefer
all be
cock, talking. Thank you.
We have an oversized panel today. It's Dark Tower has become quite the meeting place on
it's
Fridays.
It's a hot spot.
Friday is the new Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday was so fucking great.
We have our new semi-regular, the artist of New X-Men, Mr. Scotty Young.
Give me my pen.
I eat souls. And beat asses when people try to be the boss of me.
Take it easy.
Scotty fought so hard to get that semi-regular tag. Because as soon as he gets regular,
he's gone. He's,
like,
he's gone.
Dude,
I can't do
tie
it.
Tie me down to something
yeah.
else.
I'm like the wind, baby. How can you tie down the wind?
You can't trap a rainbow. Yeah, there was.
Can't put a rainbow.
We also have many times returning guest, our good buddy, the artist of Scar Tissue, Fiendish Fables, and various other books, Mr. Dave Wachter, or Wachter.
Wachter.
It's Wachter. Wachter.
It's just fucking
our great friend.
My great friend who I can't pronounce her effing name.
Heavens to Murgatroyd already. They can't even get my name right.
And rounding out the round table, two more of our good friends, the co-host of the comic book queers, Eric and Steve.
I'm going to fuck Mark Andraco.
Whoa.
Wow.
I'm going to fuck Tom's girlfriend.
Oh! Even more shocking.
It's like Elseworlds in here.
I don't know which one of those is less likely to happen. I'm not sure.
I think I know.
Newsarama already broke that story 2 days ago, and everyone says it sucks. Both of them. You didn't do Mark and Draco right.
Oh. Well, everyone, this is one of our Monday news and reviews episodes, and before we dive into the news here, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
To help mice thrive in a world filled with harsh conditions and predatory attacks, the Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, Saxon, Kenzie, and Liam are dispatched to find a missing merchant mouse that never arrived at his destination. In doing so, they stumble upon much more than they had bargained for. Get your copy of David Peterson's breakthrough series, Mouse Guard, at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, manga, and more. Find a store near you at borderstores.com. And you can also see a preview if you click on the banner that's on our site. There's an 8-page preview of Mouse Guard if you haven't seen it before.
Sweet.
And I think we're going to have David Peterson on sometime in the month of June.
In the
so look forward
future.
To that.
Somewhere.
In the year 2000.
I love animals with opposing thumbs.
Yeah, can you not? Yeah.
Rodents with swords. It's good
really
stuff.
It's really hard to get a sword into a mouse's fist. Really hard. Tiny little claymore.
Take it from a man.
Claymore.
I'm all about the claymore.
Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Chances are you will sit down at a long plastic table and be ordered to drink beer and talk about comics.
Chances are...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
What, now no one has any witty comments?
I got nothing
comments?
To say after that. Oh, man, just whatever. Move on, man.
What? Oh, what? I'm sorry, what?
And be a hero. We have a new contest, or our latest contest is to be a hero. Make a donation at heroinitiative.org and send us the email at hero@aroundcomics.com, letting us know you did it. Everyone that makes a donation is entered into our drawing that will take place at the end of June. The contest is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. They've included two $50 gift certificates, good for anything, at InStockTrades.com. First place winner will receive a prize pack, including one-of-a-kind hardcover edition of Jeffrey Brown's I'm Going to Be Small with an autographed Scotty Young sketchbook.
Which is also hardcover.
Which is also hardcover, yes. And very nice. With a $50 InStockTrades.com.
I was bringing it up.
It's as rare as grass.
Rare. And second place will get a $50 gift certificate to InStockTrades. And we have some other stuff we're going to be
doing. Yeah, Mike Norton did a Fallen Sun sketch cover with Captain America. But Chris Burnham's going to do some Elephant Man stuff for us. So we just got to peg those people down.
So
and get stuff
give a donation at heroinitiative.org. Send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com. Mm-hmm.
And you will be entered into the Hall of Fame of people with generous hearts, which include Connor Egan, Fred Walsh, Matt Bell, Trevor Beers, and Simon McDonald. Jonathan the Cursing Pastor Conrad, Matt Kramer, and Braxton Harrison.
Braxton's such a cool name.
Hello, everybody. I'm Braxton Harrison. Anyone ever going to go play croquet? Me and Buffy are going right now, and then we're going to have a nice round of badminton. No.
The next issue of New X-Men is going to be penciled, inked, and colored by Braxton Young.
Yes. I'm changing the fucking name.
With a K.
Yep. It's Braxton.
Braxton.
Braxton was very generous with his dinner. With his donation.
That's exactly what I know we talked
about.
Leave us a voicemail, Braxton. Call in.
Doesn't Braxton have a pretty cool job,
what does he
too?
Sound like?
Braxton is a PI.
He's also a private investigator. He's got a cool name and a cool job.
That's oh, wow. We're not making fun of you, dude.
But does he have a mustache?
He'll never find out who's doing his voice of him, though.
He's not Sherlock Holmes.
And Braxton's wife is a hottie.
Oh, I wasn't going to go
that's
there.
That's kind of disturbing. I don't really think you ought to be.
Well, actually, Dave, after you did the commission for Braxton.
Well, she did pose for me.
Oh, wow.
Did she find your costume in the laundry basket? Were there tentacles involved? Is there any stuff in the news this week about something fucking another thing?
Probably.
Maybe.
I haven't really.
Well, I tell you what.
Hey, Tom, let's make some news.
All right, well, I tell you what. Let's move on to the news.
Okay.
It is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, they're handing out fingers again. Every year they do this.
I get the finger all the
people
time.
People are outraged. Mm-hmm. People are getting fingered.
It is.
I call it finger banged.
The annual Bill Finger Award is being given out at the Baltimore Comic Con this year, and the recipients are Gardner Fox and George Gladier.
They're both getting finger banged.
Glatter? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Well, I know who Gardner Fox is.
I have no fucking idea.
That's my favorite term on the planet.
The Bill Finger Award was instituted in 2005 under the supervision of comic book legend Jerry Robinson, and the awards committee is charged each year with selecting two recipients, one living and one deceased.
Oh, that just made me realize I don't know which one's dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's...
Yeah, it's kind of
Dark,
right?
Fox.
Yeah, it's like a dark prize.
Yeah.
Dark at night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and Bill Finger was, he helped create Batman, but didn't really get any recognition for it. So, not like Bob Kane, who was a better businessman, was able to make a deal.
But Bill's got the awards now. He's giving the finger to everybody else.
That's right.
And that is kind of the message of the award, is that it is for...
Give the finger to Bob Kane.
Yes. Win this, then go pee on Bob Kane's grave. No, it's...
Again, folks, very dark. Very dark.
Wow. All right, you just went too far.
I think that the message of the award is that it is for talent deserving of wider recognition.
And if you are either Gardner Fox or George Glatter, whichever one of you is alive, please give us a call so we'll know which one of you to actually hand the award to. Sorry.
Email us with a big fuck you
so we know.
No disrespect to you. But it would have been great if you could have sent us an email saying, I invented superhero teams, so you go fucking
nice. All right, there's going to be a lot of F-bombs on this episode. All right, so some friends of ours are going to be down at the Heroes Con, which is coming up on the 15th through the 18th here next weekend.
Who are you looking at? I don't know.
Well, it's Scotty, you're going to be at Heroes, right?
Yes. Come.
When is it?
Whenever you say it is, but come give me money at it.
Okay. Well, someone else that's going to be there is the entire cast of iFanboy. It's another podcast. If you've listened to our show before, they've been on, and they do a very entertaining show. They'll be recording a live show at the Westin Charlotte Hotel right across the street from the convention center. Look for signs in the hotel for the specific room. That's going to be on Friday, June 15th. Doors open at 8 p.m. and the show begins at 8:30 p.m. It's free, and afterwards they're going to be going across the street to the hotel bar to hang out.
Never watched a podcast get recorded.
I was going to light that up.
You really need to go and catch the electricity.
Oh,
the energy of a bunch of men standing around a set of microphones.
1.21 gigawatts of energy. Yeah.
I hear they're having jugglers.
I told Ron that he was crazy for doing a live show at a convention, and he agreed.
Scotty, your mission while at HeroesCon is to go to the live show and yell Beeblebrorp as loud as you can.
It's on. It's on.
Yell like Ogre from Revenge of the Nerd.
That's good.
Well, gentlemen, no point in hanging around this dump any longer.
So anybody going to HeroesCon?
Actually, real quick, on the HeroesCon, on a serious note, I will have my new sketchbooks there. And
so you really do want people to give you money?
Yeah, please do come. We'll have a ton of original art from X-Men and whatever other books and covers. And
you'll be doing sketchbooks.
Right? What's that?
You'll be doing sketches?
Maybe. Let's not tell them about it. That's a lot of work.
I'm not going. I'm going to go to Wizard World Philly instead.
Sell out.
No, I'm not.
What sort of collectible are you getting?
The Bob Kane
Hero Clicks.
Exactly. If it's Hero Clicks, I'm there.
Shut up.
Oh!
It's giant Bob Kane.
Harshest
as he
Hero
says while he
look.
Wipes that tear.
Yeah, one single tear. So anyway, check out iFanboy, and if you're at HeroesCon on Friday night, check out their live recording. It should be a lot of fun. The 2007 Harvey Award nominees have been announced. These are going to. I was totally wrong on that. The Finger Awards. Yeah. Those aren't given out in Baltimore. It's the Harvey Awards.
Oh, fuck God.
When are the Finger Awards?
The Finger Awards are the this go kart has totally went off the tracks.
That with your own beer,
shit.
Show is derailed.
I don't know. The Finger Awards are given out sometime.
I'll check
the website.
I'll find out.
What is given out at the Baltimore Comic Con are the Harvey Awards.
I'll do all the
And those nominees have been released. I want to highlight a few of them, starting out with Best Writer. They have nominated Ed Brubaker for his work on...
Are we going to read all of them?
No, not all of them. Just some, a couple.
Just the man crushes.
The Best Writer nominees are Ed Brubaker, Grant Morrison, Steve Murphy, Don Rosa, William Van Horn, and Brian K. Vaughan.
Don Rosa?
Yeah.
I see there's a write-in.
He's still doing stuff?
All I heard was blah, 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 Brian K. Vaughan. Blah, 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 Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah, Uncle Scrooge.
Shocker.
Yeah,
that's
still going. Oh, I love him.
Don Rosa is... He's
alive.
God, this is the worst.
This is the death show.
Yeah, well, Don Rosa doesn't know if you're alive or not either.
It's very dark. Yeah. It's
very dark. Very dark. Okay. Almost midnight. So dark.
Yeah, I knew Don.
Yes, maybe 12:30.
Maybe 12:30.
I knew he was alive. I just didn't know he was still.
Best artist nominees: Brian Freeze, Renee French, Stuart Immonen.
Reading all of them.
Frank Quietly, Don Rosa, and William
Van Horn. Don Rosa again.
Don Rosa is all over these.
That Uncle Scrooge.
Are these nominees or winners?
These are nominees.
I think Stuart Immonen should win.
Don Rosa got nominated for Best Cartoonist.
Frank Quietly.
Stuart Immonen body slams Frank Quietly.
Everyone, calm down. If you have a thought, wait for your turn.
Thank you, Tom.
Sorry to talk over your line, Tom.
Yeah.
Best Series, Civil War, 52, Necromancer, The Spirit, Wasteland, and Best Continuing or Limited Series, Daredevil,
you know the
Locals, The Spirit, Umbra, or The Walt
are named
Disney
in honor of the late Harvey Kurtzman? Were you aware of that?
Shut up!
Don't talk over each other. I just want to say I feel kind of bad now that we've joked about...
dead people?
Yeah.
A lot of them?
Yeah, I know.
And but only not only joked, not only joked, it was like, three. Oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Dead dude.
I feel kind of bad now. Like, I have a sudden, guilt, 5 minutes
you
later.
You actually look like it.
Yeah, don't you're I feel little, bad? Yeah.
Well, calling living people dead also,
yeah.
I mean, when you factor that in.
Yeah.
Their egos, probably not huge when they hear that. Like, oh, that's
not
important.
Don Rosa is not listening to our podcast.
How do you know?
Surprised.
He could be from the ether.
He's collecting. He's going
to last time we said that, right. Nicola Scott sent us an email like this the next day.
Well, we apologize to all living and dead people
I love Uncle
Scrooge on this episode.
Oh, talking about dead people, Charles Nelson Reilly,
he died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought for the past, like, 4 or 5 years that he was dead.
See? Now he's going
but
right
Eric,
back.
Eric actually found out that he was still living and told me about it.
Yeah, he had that
he was
great
just on,
episode of The X-Files years ago.
I am blanked. Yeah.
Oh, no, he was on, I just watched a rerun of Darman Greg he was on.
Yeah, that was a rerun, though.
Oh, yeah.
You
watched
Darman Greg.
Wow.
Are we really talking about Charles Nelson Reilly?
It was either that
dead.
Or read all the nominees for best.
Nominees for best.
Ding, 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 ding.
Credits page
best
person.
Dead guy putting out work.
Yeah. All right, so anyway,
Kurt Cobain.
Dun, 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 dun.
So for a full list of the Harvey nominees, you can go to aroundcomics.com or comicbookresources.com. They have finally settled on a name for the champions.
Champions.
They're
with
not
Z.
The champions.
It is not the champions.
We
with the
are not the champions.
It's the order.
The order. Did they do that already?
God.
They had to find something.
They already had
around.
The order. What's
they did?
Yeah.
What was like the order?
Option of the defenders. Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's champions, defenders, order, whatever. It's a bunch of B-list, nobody,
well, see,
superheroes.
Now they're keeping the trademark for the order
Sorry.
Like they didn't keep with the champions.
They couldn't do
who
West
drew
Coast
that cover?
Avengers?
No.
Barry Kitson.
There you go.
So,
really?
Matt Fraction's new series
He's
coming out
series.
In July will now be called The Order. Check it out. Anything that Matt's been doing?
Is gold. Good.
Like
gold.
Looks good.
He does nothing bad. He hasn't done a book yet that has been bad.
But it's an interesting concept, too. So
yeah,
it's different. Something a little different.
Something totally,
which Matt Fraction brings.
Yeah. That he does. Yeah, no question.
He brings the different.
Fraction fans?
He brings the different.
Fraction?
Matt Fraction?
I'm not a fan of fractions. I don't like
not
math in general, actually.
Yes,
not
well,
math.
I like the denominator, but
exactly.
I don't like
the
anything above the line.
I was told there'd be no math.
And new in the news is a possible film in the works about William Gaines. So
EC Comics,
Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine, William Gaines. They've sold the life rights, I guess they call it.
William Gaines, one of the, I think, giants of comics history.
Yes, absolutely. A pioneer of early comics. And when we were talking with Russ Manning before, not Russ,
Russ
Manning,
Cochran.
Russ Cochran. And we had done the Comics 101 on EC Comics. It was, I mean, it's such an interesting story that of his life and the things that he went through and
reluctantly
and just the history of comics.
Didn't want to be in comics. Came in very reluctantly.
Yeah, he was
and
wanted to be a science teacher or something like that.
I don't mean to kiss your guys' ass too much, you know, like I did before we started recording. But that 101 was a great episode. I didn't know anything about Russ before that, so
one of my favorites. And Sal did a bang up job.
I didn't either. I didn't really know much about
did.
Yeah, we
made up most of it, which is the best part.
Which is good.
And now it's been retconned into history.
Yeah.
it's officially Wikipedia.
You got it.
Canon.
Something else you can find on Wikipedia is stuff about Jim Shooter and Valiant. But Jim Shooter's coming back and writing new stuff for Harbinger for the hardcover release of Harbinger. You see that Valiant is releasing some of that stuff
is
in hardcover.
Still wearing that slick back sexy ponytail?
No, he's got the ponytail.
No
Damn
ponytail.
It.
But he is still a mountain of a man. He is Jim Shooter is at a con. You will see Jim Shooter. It's for all of the old Valiant Entertainment fans, look for the 192-page, a full-color hardcover that has a suggested retail price of $24.95.
Yes.
Some news from Stan Lee, PAL Entertainment, and Disney.
Fuck them.
Only Scotty.
Oh, I thought we were redoing it.
Just shorten it up.
Yeah. 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 Fuck him. Ha ha. Funny.
Stan Lee's PAL Entertainment has signed an exclusive multi-year first look deal with Disney. So
Disney. I was kidding, by the way. I don't fuck Stan Lee. He's a cool guy.
Just that Pella you have of him.
What does that mean? So anything he does, they have the opportunity to pounce on it first.
Well, it says that that PAL has 20 licensed characters. They're looking at developing another 40, and I believe that Disney has a first look right to do whatever they want.
Oh, so Disney gets Nitro G.
Yes.
By sign.
Yes.
You know, sometimes sometimes in first look deals, they'll companies will want first look deals so they can just keep other companies from doing
from signing. Yeah.
They'll just snatch on, say, "Oh yeah, we'll
we
give
got
you
the
this.
Money."
Well, yeah, we'll give you the, you know, because the money that they're going to be they're buying it, but they're not. It's, you know, it's option money. Yeah, and it's not like, oh, here's a, you know, here's billions of dollars. Right. Yeah, it's, well, we'll give you this little money so nobody else can make it for this
movie. So Lion King 3 with Stripperella is not a guarantee.
No, but The Hunchback and Stripperella, it's on.
Green.
You are my one defender.
Well, good for Stan.
Well, it's nice that Stan is still doing stuff, and it's cool that, you know, Disney
do you think this
realizes
is like,
that.
Well, yeah, I was gonna, do you think this is like sort of a first step at Disney to try and like do more comic book kind of stuff at all?
I wouldn't
I
say
mean, they've
first
never
step.
Really.
Yeah, they have those.
Well, I mean, like superhero. No, no, I know, but I'm saying like superhero mainstream comic
which
book
stuff. Which one? Wasn't one of
the Mickey Mouse and
does Stan Lee do a lot?
Wasn't one of those live action?
Well, no, but no matter what, if you're starting, if you were going to start a superhero comic book company and you have the name Stan Lee attached to it, it doesn't hurt.
One
regardless of what we in the industry or we around the industry may think of Stan Lee and his production in the last, you know, whatever, however many years.
Disney did Sky High, right?
I'm just...
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Disney did Sky High. They're already in the superhero game, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Incredibles. One of the best superhero movies ever.
You know, was it Disney?
What's Disney's motivation behind
it? Oh, Pixar. It was Pixar.
So... which is technically Pixar, and then they sell that to Disney.
They distribute.
Well, talking about
mice,
and men.
Hey, everybody!
Does that sound like Mickey? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Hi, everybody!
But
mouse with my pants on.
Mouse Guard was definitely the surprise hit of 2006, and with the hardcover coming out to a lot of anticipation, NPR named it as one of their summer reading titles. So
when we interview David Peterson, I'll finally beat Terry Gross in our internet rivalry. Look it up on Wikipedia.
It's funnier the first time.
No, it wasn't. The second time was awesome, buddy. I got your back, buddy.
The bomb.
Well, hey, let's read off the Harvey nominees for Best Inker then.
I also want to know on NPR's summer reading list, they also listed Phonogram. So if you haven't checked out Mouse Guard or Phonogram, NPR says that you should.
They've been NPR's done a few things. I've seen them when they talked about the American Way.
Yeah, really? They had
you know, because he's been because he's been on NPR a lot.
John Ridley,
John Ridley, he talks on NPR a lot. So they've been dabbling in
they've
it.
They've been dabbling. They're down with us. Mm-hmm.
They're
cool.
They did a great piece on Why the Last Man with my alternate reality husband Brian K. Vaughan.
So
great.
Let's give an Around Comics chest bump to NPR.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Pound it.
Ooh, Terry.
All right, you guys. Moonstone, which is actually a local publisher. They're Chicago Southside? South Suburbs. They are coming out with a couple prose collections of some Golden Age heroes. They have the Phantom and Doc Savage. They have two collections coming out. The Phantom Chronicles is a limited edition hardcover. It is the first ever collection of short prose stories featuring the Phantom.
There's an exclamation mark at the end. You should read that with more emphasis.
The Phantom.
Yep.
It is going to retail for $46.99. I also want to make a special note that former guest and friend of the program, Mr. Mike Oliveri, Bram Stoker Award winner, is contributing to the Phantom Chronicles. So if you, you're a fan of the Phantom, fan of Mike's and his Werewolves Call of the Wild series, you may want to check that out.
Good job, Mike.
Way to go, Mike.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Love your manly manliness.
The Elephant Men are going to war in Elephant Men War Toys. It's going to be a three-issue limited series. It's coming out from Image Comics.
The last story of Mappo.
Yes. It's. Would this be... Now, Elephant Men is the pre-story to Hip Flask.
Yes, Elephant Men is the pre-story of Hip Flask, and this would be before that.
So, yeah, this is
the prequel. They just keep going backwards.
Damn George Lucas.
Mm-hmm. I saw some previews of the covers over at the image boards. Richard Starkings had posted them, and it's more Woodrone covers, and they look absolutely gorgeous. So if you're a fan of the Elephant Men or Hip Flask, look for this limited series from Image Comics.
Yes.
All right. Well, Tom will probably like this, because a little foreshadowing for later in the show.
My hand before.
Spoiler!
That's a spoiler on a spoiler.
For fans of X-Men's First Class, Marvel has announced that it is going to be an ongoing series. So it's leaving the realm of the limited series, and it's going to be a continuing.
I'll show you my license, but I've got to take away for speeding ticket.
This is where people say, oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't paying attention.
Were we talking?
What were we talking about?
X-Men First Class.
Yeah. Ooh,
it's going to be an ongoing series.
They didn't wear those costumes, damn it.
I was just thinking how pissed John Byrne has to be about this.
Why?
Oh, what isn't he pissed about?
Yeah. Why would he be pissed?
Come on.
Because that's one of the big reasons why he won't do work for Marvel anymore, is because they canceled X-Men The Hidden Years.
You're speaking out of turn. That's I don't believe he's ever come out and said that. That's assumed, and you're putting words in the man's mouth.
Wow.
Why he gets a bad reputation? People like you.
No.
Better putting words.
Leave it alone.
Something else. Sal's a mean drunk. Fuck.
Because obviously Hidden Years sold so well that it kept going forever.
Ouch.
Ooh. Well, no, it's just like when people bitch that we were talking about earlier. When people bitch about, oh, I only read the Atom if Ray Palmer's
right.
in it. Well, you and 20 other people, because that book gets canceled every time.
Or New Warriors.
Yeah, or yeah. New Warriors, yeah.
Scotty fucked up New Warriors.
I did. I destroyed that series. Marvel didn't have anything to do with it.
I know
it was just me and Zeb.
You know, if you had had the skateboard in it,
would have been okay.
Yeah.
There's all right.
If you weren't drawing it, I would have read it.
Movie news!
That's hell no!
That's fucked up.
That's not right.
Take that.
I fucked up.
It's over the line. Wow.
Movie news.
It's very dark. Wow. Very dark in here.
Reported ICV2 notes that there may be an animated feature that's being shopped around about Hellboy, Mike Mignola. An ongoing regular animated feature possible. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a rumor than a necessarily hard fact.
So it's
fact.
An ongoing animated feature.
Yes.
Rumor.
As opposed to like a direct-to-DVD or, you know,
so
one
it's not
shot.
It's a series.
A okay. series.
Okay. Ongoing
this
series.
Is what we call an ongoing rumor.
Ongoing rumor. Frank Miller was talking, he's quoted on MTV, talking about the third Sin City, even though the second one hasn't even started production yet. Aiming for hell and back with Johnny Depp as hallucinating artist Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Frank Miller can pretty much do anything in Hollywood he wants at this point.
It's always nice, though, that we start talking about a couple movies ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, you want
to
get
the comic book mentality is bleeding over into movies now.
I want a preview.
Six, 7 years from now.
They're announcing it.
I can't wait until we have to buy our tickets.
They got a poster for it now.
According to Variety, the MMORPG... whatever that stands for.
Massively multiplayer...
online role-playing game.
Yes.
Is being adapted for either... City of Heroes is being adapted for either the big or small screen, one or the other,
Why?
By producer Tom DeSanto. I guess because the game is so popular that they're going to make a TV show or a movie about it.
But isn't that game, the whole purpose of it, is that you create your own hero, therefore who's going to be in the fucking show?
I think that's another
example. Maybe it'll be a reality TV show.
I think it's
who wants to be in the City of Heroes?
Yeah, exactly.
It's another example of these TV and movie executives not really understanding the material that they're taking from. They don't understand why it's popular.
They don't care.
Like, we'll make something out of that, and we'll take everything that's good about
Here's what it is, right? Heroes is a really good show, and it's doing well. We can do City of Heroes.
We're going to come out with a show called World of Warcrap. Just awful.
With lots of maps.
Well, Thundercats Ho.
Oh.
Thunder. Thundercats Ho!
Dun, da, da,
wow.
Dun,
da, da. Wow. That's right. Warner Brothers has optioned the toy franchise script. All that's old is new again, as Variety reports that Warner Brothers has optioned a script from the first-time feature screenwriter, Paul... What? They're making a big deal that he's a first-time feature screenwriter?
He's never done anything before.
Isn't it awesome? Every news item I've seen about this mentions that it's the first time he's sold a script to Hollywood. Yay!
Wait. Yeah. Way to go,
this
Paul.
This kid just got his license. Awesome. He's driving on the road. Do you feel safe?
So whether this is going to be a live or animated feature remains to be seen, but fans of Thundercats, which it's the weirdest, I keep seeing like Thundercats stickers on cars.
I worked on the designs for
fucking
DDP.
The brand list. The last news item I read is it's going to be CGI.
Oh. Okay. You can see that, maybe.
I want live action, man. I want to see.
I would love a live action Thundercats movie. That would
like
be
bad
awesome.
Costumes and
bad makeup.
Yeah.
Silverhawks is next.
Ooh, yeah.
Then the tiger sharks.
All they need is a little music.
Freak frogs,
cats.
Too.
You've got to be careful.
Nice. I didn't hear you.
A little bit of music and it's cats. You've got to be really careful.
Oh, hey, but it'll be really popular.
All right, that'll take care of our Wire to Wire comic book news. I want to talk about a couple ways you can interact with the show. One of them is the hotline?
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, we'll play it on the show, just like this one.
Hello, Round Comics. This is Mario. I was just calling in to just let you guys know that you've been doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, wait till you hear this
good
one.
Good to have Scotty on the show with his Beazle Borp, or whatever the hell he says every 2 seconds. But I also, wanted to call and let you know, thank you for turning me on to Nymphet. While I haven't picked it up yet, I will be sure to. Because any comic that has a girl that has a sign that says, what was it that Zal said, I hope for you to ejaculate in me. That's comics gold.
I was just reading that.
That's Eisner Award worthy.
I didn't make that up.
So,
wait, there's a sound clip. It's
thanks again. Good job on the episode. Keep it up, and I'll stay listening. So, Beazle Bart.
Scotty, you're starting a
cult revolution,
yeah,
baby.
Something.
I believe that it's Mario, now famous, infamous, well known for being on Beauty and the Geek. I think that's the same Mario.
Mario Muscar.
Did you watch Beauty and the Geek?
I didn't.
Who would? Come on.
Yeah, that was Mario. Yeah.
Only watched football.
You know what was interesting when we were down at Cape? They had these like cute little hot girls, and obviously their voodoo didn't work on us. But they were we're looking for geeks, blah blah blah. And I don't know why it took me this long to piece together, but what they were really interested in is trolling for geeks at a comic convention.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah,
it
they're auditioning.
Two and
yeah,
two together. And I was all like, what you need is Beauty and the Geeks for bags. That's what you need. Blah blah blah. And I was like all up in her face, and she's like, it's not a dating show. And
so yeah, you can be on, but they didn't ask us.
Yeah. And what would that show turn into if all the geeks started fucking each other? It would be nowhere.
It would be that porn you rented last week, actually.
Actually, a little.
Nerds!
Hey!
Nerd love. So anyway, Mario, thank you so much for sending that in. And for anyone else out there, please, we love the voicemails. Love to hear from you guys. All right, I believe that means it is time for Top of the Stack.
No.
top of the stack.
That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
I don't even care about comics. Scotty's got me so down on comics now, I don't even want to read comic books anymore.
Don't say that, because people on your show,
people
on your show already think, listeners on your show already think that I actually don't like comic books, which I love comic books.
And Scotty's here in, like, the nerdiest shirt out of all of us.
Yeah. Except you. You're pretty fucking nerdy. But
I love comic books.
I just don't read a ton of them. And I'm making up for it. But don't say I got you down on comic books.
You should have seen the stack of trades.
How many did I buy? Like 12.
Like, yeah, it was a huge
12
stack
trades today.
And then he's asking for more. Yeah, you're.
And I ordered, I think I ordered 9.
Wow.
I bought 12 today.
You are a nerd.
Yeah, and I'm loaded.
Did you get that?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not.
Did you get that Josie and the Pussycats trade you were looking at?
Oh, damn. I will buy that one.
Hey, Tom.
Go ahead.
Yeah? What's your top of the stack?
My top of the stack is something that came out a couple weeks ago, actually. It's
what?
X-Men First Class Special, written by Jeff Parker, featuring art by Kevin Nolan, Nick Dragata, with inks by Mike Allred and colors by Laura Allred. It's got various stories in it. It's also got Paul Smith art. It has Colleen Coover also doing some cartoonish style.
Madman Mike Allred?
Yes.
Did the inks on it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It looks like his art.
Like his art.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. What I enjoyed the most about I hate the X-Men. I do. I know it's supposed to be a soap opera, but I often find myself, as Steve said to me earlier, being a straight white man, between
Which
the
you
ages
are.
Of 18 and 35, I have a hard time identifying sometimes with people that are being persecuted. So I read it.
I'm 36. What does that mean?
You're old.
It means you're old. What I enjoyed about this book is that the way Parker has written it and the way the art is, there's room for the sort of X-Men angst, but also room for humor in the story that isn't. There isn't so much like, oh, I look like a demon, but I believe in God type sadness, you know, always around. Yeah. That I think a lot of the X-Men books sort of drowned in sometimes, a little too heavy. It reminds me a lot of the Claremont New Mutants back in the day, which I thought were great books, where they had room for humor, and they had room for
Even the Claremont Byrne, Uncanny X-Men, wasn't always about the struggle and the
No,
fight
but you're
and,
not
you know
going
to
find this type of feeling in any of the X-Books, I think. Sorry, Scotty. The X-Books.
He apologizes for
the new X-Men. Yeah, I don't think
he touched your what?
I touched your balls.
touched his X-balls.
To me, this it's funny because it's almost taking it back to the old characters. I know to a lot of people probably isn't appealing because the original X-Men weren't actually the most popular version of the X-Men. Yeah. And even though we ripped on Stan Lee earlier for not having any original ideas in like 30 years, this was a really good one in 1963. And it's still really good because people go back to it. My only major criticism is they have like encyclopedia entries about the original X-Men in the back. I find it unnecessary to list that all of their first appearances were in X-Men Volume 1, Number 1, 1963. if all of them
or
did.
The original.
Yeah, you don't need... Don't say that for all of them, please. Yeah. Though I find Iceman's charisma is a 20. I'm kidding. I'm joking. He's finding
and now,
as we talked about earlier, that's going to be an ongoing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pick up the hardcover of the first 8 issues because I loved Parker's stuff on Agents of Atlas.
Yeah.
And this had very much the same feel to it. So.
And Caters is rich beyond.
Oh. I'm wealthy.
Wealthy.
Independent.
Beverly Hillbillies has nothing on him.
I found oil.
Black gold
in Logan Square,
Texas T. Yeah, I found
Mr. Young. What is your
top
of the stack?
Gotta
move it along, right, Tom?
It's enough funny, man.
My mine is obviously as it always is, not new. But last night I started reading the first trade of Preacher. I think I got a
round of
applause. I'm the shit, I guess.
Preacher is.
But I'm the shit for reading it. Just let me be. But I think I got two, like, about halfway through the first trade, and I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm very intrigued. You know, I want to see what happens, and I love the art. It was Dylan, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Kicks ass.
Yeah, yes. Very cool. I like, you know, the characters are definitely distinct and from, you know, very distinctive from each other. And I don't know. I'm really into it so far. I don't know that much about it. Everybody else knows the huge history of it, so I'm brand new. So I always feel like top of this deck, I'm like, I don't need to say anything because everybody else has already read everything,
you know,
I've read.
What I would have to say about Preacher, though, is it's still my favorite Ennis work, because I feel like everything he's done since then, including like The Boys and everything, has
tried
always been
that.
A bit of a parody, yeah, of
kind
something.
Of a derivative of, right,
and that it was sort of the original, like, purist
and
vision.
Everybody keeps saying this is going to be his next Preacher. Yeah.
No, it actually says the tagline for Boys was, we're going to out-preacher
Preacher.
Preacher.
Yeah. Yeah, and
nah.
It doesn't.
Well,
I mean, it's great.
Everybody has always said,
it's different.
Everybody always said to me, you know, again, because I had a drought of not reading books, so I've, you know, I've asked you guys and asked people, like, oh, what should I read? And I've read through some Wise and like those. So, and I heard, you know, we talked earlier about they might make an HBO show out of it. Mm-hmm. And anytime that they're going to make a movie out of a book, I always rush out. I want to read the book first, because then I'm never disappointed with whatever. Yeah, because I'm like, everybody always gets mad, like, oh, they didn't put that in the Harry Potter movie. Well, I don't care, because I already got the information, so it's all bonus to me, you know? So
sure.
I wanted to read Preacher before I got any kind of cut version of it or modernized version of it, and I'm really enjoying it so far, so that's my top of the stack.
Well, I'm with you. I just read it last year.
Yeah?
And I read it over the course of about 6-7 months. And, yeah, love it. It's
enjoy
outstanding.
It. Sweet.
Outstanding.
Well, I look forward to getting more into it.
And what everybody used to say to me, now I'm going to say to you, I'd like to hear what you have to say about it when you're done, too. I'd like to see it.
We'll have a conversation.
The whole thing, overall.
The whole story?
Yeah.
I'm excited to get into it. I think it started off with giving you enough information, but also not giving you very much either to really go, hey, there's a lot coming here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot to get into. And I also think that it feels so far, you know, like I said, I'm only halfway through the first trade, but I think it also feels like it's the kind of book I like where it doesn't, every issue doesn't feel like it's here, okay, it stops.
Formulaic.
Yeah, and then, okay, then we jump back in, there's kind of a story. It really just feels like, in trade format, I'm just reading one giant story. Yeah. There doesn't feel like there's really any breaks.
That was one of the few, I kind of came late to Preacher, too. I didn't start reading it until about 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And it was one of the few books, I picked it up all in trade, and it was like, every time I finished reading a trade, I ran to the store and
to get
the next
one.
I couldn't stop reading.
Well, that's why I was kind of mad, because I'm halfway through this one. I know I'm going to finish it probably tonight, and I was going to buy all of them here today, and there's none. So and now I'm feeling like, what am I going to do? Well,
yeah, it's a really great series by Ennis, and probably his best stuff ever. Although I'm a huge fan of his Punisher work. I think he's
all right, Eric. What is your top of the stack?
Well, my top of the stack is actually my bottom of the
you
stack.
Grab it from
ooh,
the bottom.
We got a
ooh,
hater.
Bottom.
We got a hater on the show.
I guess we know what hater. Your butt or not?
Hated it.
This is 1993, guys. Come on.
Seriously,
that's all I know.
This
you guys are like
my
the X-Men.
Brian Michael Bendis. The problem I have with I'm talking about Illuminati, the new Avengers Illuminati.
Really?
And it's sort of like Bendis jerking off in your face with what he constantly does, which is the retcon.
And then doesn't give you a towel afterwards.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, we can kiss our interview with Bendis goodbye. Damn.
But, you know, there's actually, just to save this a little bit, there's a lot of Bendis stuff I enjoy, but when he retcons it's always weird. I had a problem with the Sentry for this reason, but whatever. The thing about the new Avengers Illuminati is that it's a series where he'll take these major events that happen in the Marvel Universe and pull in this group of characters like Reed Richards, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Black Bolt, Xavier, Namor. I just listed
like
all them. Yeah, just like that. For example. So the thing is, you've got this group of characters, and he'll show how they intercede in these major events and effectively retcon. Well, in issue number 3, he took the most agonizingly painful event I think that's ever happened in Marvel history, which would be the Secret Wars 2, which
Jerry Curl.
Yeah,
the Jerry Curl isn't natural anymore.
Right. Well, it's especially not natural on a white man. But he, the thing about this,
did he just snap?
Girl,
snap.
The thing about this book, he talks about how the Beyonder was a mutated inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
What? But that's what I said.
That was a tone but unlike
what, yeah, that was like dogs are right now.
Shuts his head, no!
Sal, I've never heard you make a sound like that.
Sorry.
Yeah, and basically since I read this, I've not been able to let go of my rage.
Yeah, but, this was spoiled for me by a different podcast, not you guys, sorry. And when I heard that, I have not read this book. I read issue one and thought, this is crap, and tossed it aside. Here's the thing. I love Bendis on a personal level. I would love to hang out with the guy, have a beer with him, and talk to him, because I think he's hilarious. I don't want to read his stuff. But when I heard what happened to the Beyonder...
There's a way to get that beer. Back away.
Thanks. I'm like, Beyonder? Mutated inhuman? What?
Well, see, yeah, but...
What were you smoking, and why didn't you pass it?
That's not definite in it, though. This issue is... There's some things that are left...
I think it's pretty definite.
No, yeah, it's not. You're left wondering.
No, because here's the thing.
I think you're left wondering in it. Like, is this just a whole game that the Beyonder
but the
is playing?
That's the thing that bothers
me. Because at the end, it draws out. They have that whole ending where, spoilers, but where it pulls out from his eyes.
Right.
It's just like, and he's looking right at us. Like, he's just played a trick on these
Yeah,
guys,
but the thing that bothers me. The thing that bothers me about it, though, is.
Did you finish the book?
Oh. I understand. You can retcon. So it's a halfway retcon where maybe it's a mutant inhuman, but then you've retconned something almost for the sake of the mechanics of that story that you're telling.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling it just because that book and the things that happen in that book can't
happen. Well, that's the same problem you had with bullet points.
Like a device, like a weak
Yeah, device. I mean, like, it's just like within the context of that book, now you've changed
well,
some sort of rule
whole, that's
to
the
make
whole
that
point
book
with
work.
Illuminati is that you're shoehorning in these in-between moments with these...
Well, yeah, but I think sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sure. Sometimes, yeah. like, yeah. in this case, it sort of throws you off a bit because you get to the end and you realize you've sort of read this very contained thing that nothing, this might not affect any other story ever to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But you've read this story where it's obvious that they made a very definite switch at some point, but the switch was only to carry out a mechanic later in the story.
And I
but
think that it works in the first judge? Two issues.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, but I mean, it's
that's almost like looking at the book and trying to find
but that's
the flaw
honest, that's
with
honestly
it.
Reading it, and that's my reaction. Because mm-hmm. I know what it yeah. was, and I know that when they made the switch purposely. Because I know what it was previously.
Yes,
you can't
I
have
mean,
it
what,
both
what,
ways
what?
If you're writing it, though. You can't switch it and then say, if you remember it, forget it, you know. You can't
well, no,
write
I,
it that way.
I mean, one of the whole points, it seems, of this book is to take events that we've all, that anyone who's been reading the Marvel Universe books for decades, these are all events that we will know. And so, the point of it is to sort of take these events and shine a different kind of light on it, a different perspective
yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
Say, this is a little, you know, you didn't see everything while it was happening, because how can you? You never do, you know, throughout whatever, whether it's a
any
historical
moment in
or
history,
fictional
any, yeah.
or whatever. You never see everything that happens. So we're going to give you an angle, a new angle on it that's a little bit
but
different and provides different kinds of information and maybe puts you off center and off kilter, and it knocks you off.
See,
I
just thought it was sort
of
interesting because
like
it took
knocked off balance.
It took like one of like
man,
Eric said, one of the shittiest Marvel yeah. events ever, Secret Wars 2, and it actually made it yeah, and made
it
something
yeah,
more interesting
was,
out of the original
story.
Event.
The thing with the different angle, but the thing with the different
this is not a good story.
I liked it.
I liked it.
The thing with the different angle thing, though, is then the first two Illuminati issues. What I enjoyed was the way they approached taking the different angle was taking events and not necessarily switching what you had thought beforehand necessarily. Mm. They just showed you with a more subtle writing touch, like how to look at something a little bit different.
Girl,
and this was
right.
the first
right.
time that when I read it in the three issues that I was like, oh, they switched this. This is this now. And then 20 pages later, that switch feeds into the climax of the story.
Bitch, you are so right.
But and that's what bothered me.
But,
no, I can see your point because it was the whole thing with, I mean, what you're talking about is him being a mutated inhuman.
Yeah,
and because of that, he had to have that point in the story for the story to work.
He knelt.
He had to change that for the
story. Why isn't that a MacGuffin? Exactly. That's what they're chasing down when the real story is something quite different.
But I mean, the first two issues weren't like that, though.
I'm with you, John.
No, I see Tom. I mean, I didn't hate it or love it.
John, I'm just saying what I think about the fucking book. There's no right or wrong answer.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why you feel it needs to, that
because the first two books, because that's what I was expecting when I bought the fucking book.
But I think that's an expectation of where you think the story is going.
And that's why I said I didn't like
it. Isn't the challenge of the writer to actually give you a surprise? You don't have to like the surprise. You have to like where it's going.
And I didn't, and that's why I'm saying
that. The Dead Suntress is sassy.
The fucking Ghost of Suntress wants me to like it, and I don't.
You are a member of the House of
Suntress.
I like this book.
I am trying to speak to you.
Not to get too...
I'm just
insane about this one issue, but I'd like to go kind of back to why Eric, because I didn't love it.
I didn't understand the concept. No, top of the stack.
I didn't love the book. I didn't hate the book. I thought it was okay. Yeah. It was of the three Illuminati issues. It was probably the weakest. I agree with.
But you hated it.
I mean, you absolutely hated it.
I didn't even read it. I just hated the concept of the Beyonder being a mutated inhuman. I thought, what's the problem with him being this cosmic, all powerful being?
I don't get the concept of the Beyonder just being. What is the Beyonder?
Fucking Beyonder. Why did they even write a story?
Jerry Curl. Fuck it. We're not.
Well, see, but that's what I thought was kind of interesting to me. What I liked about it was that. It took this stupid character of the Beyonder, and at least issue is better than any Secret War 2 issue.
Yes. You know, I found
so at
myself...
So, I mean, at the very least,
that's
it did
like
that.
Getting a punch in the face is better than getting kicked in the groin.
Right.
I found myself thinking, like, this mutated inhuman...
Not even Clarence Darrow could have argued
built
that.
...built a planet and brought Galactus there. And
bring me the gold standard.
It's like I'm in a race between geeky and faggy right now, so I apologize to all the listeners. But
the logic of him having the ability to do these things because he's a mutant.
Well,
that's what you had the biggest problem with.
I have no opinion.
We know
Scotty doesn't care.
I don't even read comics, man.
I like ponies.
People more. This just in.
I haven't said it once. I told you. Nerd alert. Where's someone else's top of the stack?
All right. Dave Wachter.
Yes.
What did you hate? Oh, I mean...
Going with the original concept of top of the stack, I chose a book that I most appreciated this week. But what I chose this week was a book called Strange Embrace from Image Comics by David Hine with Bob Steen and Comic Craft. And basically what this is that David Hine had apparently... produced this before in a black and white form, and I think in a graphic novel form, and now it's being re-released in color through Image in what is it, eight issue
yeah,
one of
eight
issues. So eight issues, and this is a
that's an interesting concept. Come out with the graphic novel and then release it as single issues.
Yeah,
and release
it as well. I think it had been. I think I don't know when it had been released. I think it had been some time had passed, and I don't know how wide of a release it really got when it was originally came out. So, you know, whatever. But this is a horror book, but it's not a bloody horror book. It's a psychological horror book, which is the kind of horror that I really like.
Kind of like
thriller.
This episode of Around Comics.
Kind of like this episode of Around
Comics. Fucking psychological thriller.
Yes. And
the anger.
Good God.
Yeah, essentially we have this a young boy who's having strange dreams and sees this strange man in them, and then he has to...
Ghost of Suntress.
The Ghost of Suntress.
With a strange
Mama,
embrace.
Can you hear me? I'm just going to keep doing that every time.
You know, Tom keeps talking over me.
Sorry.
And... I'm just kidding, Tom. Thank you. And,
this might be the last show.
I will. This will. This will be. And, it's just basically a dark, a very atmospheric psychological horror book. I would say the art is sort of simplistic, maybe in a Mignola
kind of vain, although you would have to see it yourself in order to look at it. Well, unfortunately, it's got a really great website you can go to and see. It's probably
StrangerBrace.com?
I think so, but it's a pretty cool website. It's almost like a sort of a video game website where they give you a they show you a whole room, and you have to pass the cursor over the objects to figure out where, you know, and you click on it, and it'll show you previews and stuff like that. And there's a lot of previews online you can see of it if you want to check it out. About this kid who has some sort of connection with another guy who has some sort of psychological mind powers and who latches onto this kid and starts showing him things. And it's just really a nice, in-depth... It seems like it's also going to be very tightly plotted. Like, you know, the writer knew what was going to happen at the end and was able to build all of the events up. And
well, yeah, because he put the trade out already.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, when he originally wrote it, maybe. But, yeah, it's great. I think it's a beautiful looking book, and I love the art, and it's a great first issue, and I think people should go out and get it. It's actually a little frightening and weird.
Ooh,
nice.
So
it's weird.
I'm gonna check it out.
You know, whenever you've got a weird white haired man feeding offering mushrooms to
psychedelic
a children mushrooms to a child. That's
good stuff.
Hi, Uncle Bill.
The only thing that, and I was talking about, the only thing that threw me off a little is that you could tell just a little bit that necessarily the break wasn't natural necessarily in the story.
It's not like a natural cliffhanger.
Yeah, which isn't a horrible thing, but it might throw off. Like if you're reading it, expect to read.
Hypercritical Tom.
It's 8 issues, and it's an 8-issue story, so when you get to the end of the first 8, you're not going to have a huge cliffhanger at that end of that issue. So when you get to the end, don't be like, oh, where's my payoff for this?
Although, it kind of takes you on this... It is sort of like a weird, I don't know, it's got a Twilight Zone-y aspect to it, where it's...
It's like a story within a story.
Yeah, it has stories within within stories, and it has these weird little flashbacks that inform upon things that are going on now, and I recommend it.
All right.
Or there pick up the trade, I guess, too.
I guess if it's available,
I don't know if it is available.
That's the thing. Yeah. I think maybe one of the reasons that this is being put out is because it's not available.
Yeah.
And it's in color now, and the colors are really nice.
I like the...
And it brings a nice mood and atmosphere.
It's yellow. I like the yellow border.
Yeah, they do. Instead of white around the panels, it's more like aged paper.
That is cool. So, I like that, yeah.
Fantastic. All right, my top of the stack is the re-release of Fear Agent.
Boo! I don't know. We're just getting angry, aren't we?
No, it was
fuck,
great.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah.
This is the...
Remender's a fag.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I take that, but we're going to have to take this
Rick sent me
down.
A very nice email about you guys today.
You know what? For that joke to work, we really need an editor's note so that everybody can understand where that comes
from. Go back to
Rick.
No, you can't go back to it.
It's our interview.
Yeah, go
back. I understand.
Rick was a guest on Comic Book Queers. Go back and listen
to
that.
Our interview with us.
Yes, yes.
He's funny.
Which was very good.
You could cut that sexual tension with a knife. Okay.
So anyway, this is Fear Agent number one. This is the first issue from Dark Horse. Fear Agent, of course, used to be over at Image, and they did 2 trades worth of stories there. Decided to move to Dark Horse, and Fear Agent is now going to be a continuing series of miniseries. And this is issue 1 of 4 of the arc called The Last Goodbye. And this is, I guess, kind of an origin story.
Did you notice on the inside cover what it said? It said number 12 of the continuing series.
Oh, well, there you go.
Just thought I would throw that in. Interesting idea.
It is, of course, written by Rick Remender. The original artist, Tony Moore, is back for penciling duties. Andy Parks is ably doing inks, and I really like Andy's inks over Tony's stuff. Lee Lowridge is the colorist, and Russ Wooten did letters. If you are familiar with Fear Agent at all, you'll know the story of Heath Houston as an outer space ranger who's hot on the heels of alien invaders. He's a two-fisted man of action.
Family man.
Yes.
In this story.
In this story.
In the past.
The West Goodbye is the story of Keith Houston and how he became a Fear agent. You go back to his pre-Fear agent days in Texas.
Truck driver.
Yep. And,
driving them trucks in Texas.
And it's the story of the first alien invasion on Earth, and we'll... eventually lead to Heath's Fear agent.
Did you read? You read probably right his letter.
Yes, the letter was great.
He talks about. I thought that was great. It's like how would aliens really regard the Earth? Would they come here with peaceful intentions?
They come to.
Or would they act like the way any civilization has done when they go to a land and they think they come across a more primitive or less advanced civilization, where they take it over. Yeah. You know, that's what happens.
There were two things about this issue I loved. There was the fact that if you had not read Fear Agent previously, could completely pick this up, because this is literally the origin story of the character. So if you pick this up, you're not missing anything, really. You're picking up just at the beginning. And there's a moment where when he comes back from driving his... if you've read the previous Fear Agent issues, you've seen how this fits into the chronology. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of a joke for people who've already read it where he's like, oh, I've got blood on me from helping my dad fix the truck. But if you've read the previous issues, you know where he really got that blood from, in between
a scuffle
and
him and his old man fight.
Yeah, but if it doesn't ruin it, it's just like a little bit of a wink.
Nod.
I would like to thank you, Tom, because I had actually forgotten that.
Yeah, and it's really cool. Yeah,
I'm like, what's he talking about? And then he says it.
That's a bar.
Previous flashback.
It's awesome.
One of the things I love in the letter is that Rick talks about kind of like, you know, comics of old and how there aren't really that many war comics out.
Yeah, and he described this one as a war comic, which was different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how he described the past issues.
Yeah, he says there seem to be fewer and fewer war comics being produced as the years progress, with exception to notable entries by Garth Ennis and Joe Kubert. I'm at a loss to recall any. Perhaps this is part of the Aliens plot. Whatever the cause, it's a shame. From Two-Fisted Tales to Enemy Ace to Haunted Tank to Sergeant Rock, war tales have a rich history in American comics and should be loved by all good-hearted men and women. And he references EC Comics, I think, from the very beginning whenever we talk with Tony and Rick about this, like Wizard World 2005, Rick always described this as a two-fisted man of action, which really harkens back to those great EC stories, you know, Weird Science and Two-Fisted Tales. So I think it is a great reintroduction of Fear Agent. I'm so glad that the series has survived to go to a different publisher, and it looks like they really have a game plan to really kind of take that BPRD model and come out with continuing limited series. And I know that Rick and Tony are both really proud of this issue in this series. So if you haven't checked out Fear Agent, this is a great issue to jump on. If you do like this issue and you haven't read it before, I would also suggest going back and getting the first two Fear Agent trades, which are now available. I think they've been released by Dark Horse, and even though the original issues came out through Image. So Fear Agent number one of four. The Last Goodbye is my top of the stack.
I like the aliens.
Aliens were awesome.
Tony's aliens are great. They don't... because it's like... after, like, H.R. Geiger's Alien, you know...
Oh, yeah,
every alien looks like that. Or some
spider creature.
And it's like Tony's stuff doesn't look anything
like...
It's a
fucking blob in a helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And it's going to eat the shit out of you.
I love that. So.
Doesn't have tentacles.
And
yeah, so you're going to get...
are sweet.
Did he get fucked with a tentacle in that issue?
No, I don't... almost.
Yeah, the back cover.
Almost.
It was close.
Almost.
It was touch and go.
Penetrating.
And the back cover.
Back cover, Shane White, friend of the show.
Beautiful pinup.
Yeah, awesome. Shane's a terrific artist. We talked about him last week, and he's an awesome guy too. So, I guess I'll go. Stevie, why don't you go? What do you got? Go ahead.
My top of the stack.
Yes, Daddy.
I'm gonna pull up. Remember last time I was here and I said if you wanted to hear my top of the stack? Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. But I'm gonna pull a Chris, and my top of the stack isn't really a comic.
Oh.
But it is.
Television show?
It's Dream Girls.
You're such a fag. But those of you listening right now who are breeders, do not use that word.
Breeders.
My top of the stack is Wrath of the Titans.
I haven't read that yet. I haven't.
Yeah.
And
the reason why, it was all just moments of synchronicity for me this weekend. On Friday, I went to Virgin Megastore. They were having a big $10 sale. I bought Clash of the Titans.
Nice.
Yeah. On Sunday, I watched the movie. On Wednesday,
you read Teen Titans.
I found the comic book and bought it, but had no idea that they were actually related. And it is actually a 5-year later continuation of Clash of the Titans. Yes, it is, sir.
Sweet.
Yeah, no, I was excited, but I got a little thrown by the art because what is her name? Theta and Hera. They're these like bitchin' big booby bimbos now. So you guys are gonna love this.
Wasn't
but
Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith was Theta.
The
thought
of her with massive tits freaks me out and makes me gayer.
More gay.
Even more gay. Especially if it was the Maggie Smith from Hook.
Oh.
But yeah.
But other than that,
it is pretty good actually. It's kind of intriguing. There's a nice cliffhanger at the end where you kind of know who's the baddie in it, who's going to be coming around. But I want to see more.
The Kraken.
That was Tom's Kraken earlier. No.
They threw a quarter in it.
It was a nickel and wait till you get home.
Oh.
But I was more intrigued by the ad for the Sinbad comic coming out in the back because I thought the artwork in that looked really
Sinbad
cool.
The comic?
Sitter? Yeah, it was very Sinbad the House Sitter. Yes.
I love that movie.
House guest comic.
Yeah, don't forget about
nice.
All the way.
You know, Sinbad just hasn't had enough play in the last decade.
Necessary roughness.
Nice. Wow.
Necessary roughness, the comic book.
Poor Sinbad.
That's a little Scott Bakula.
I actually picked that up and I hadn't read it yet. And I didn't know that it had anything to do with Clash.
I didn't either until I cracked it.
I wonder. I mean, is it like an actual like legal?
Yeah. Well, Ray Harryhausen is. I mean, if you look at the title, the front of the cover, it says Ray Harryhausen presents.
Oh, okay.
They have some really cool Ray Harryhausen sketches
canon.
In the back. Awesome.
Now we're gonna look at the remake of. Now they're gonna remake Clash of the Titans because they remake every other fucking movie that.
Well, after I was watching, I thought to
that's
myself,
one that would actually be a. Good
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, they probably
I would
actually
like
would
to see
do
a remake
cool.
of this. Yeah, yeah.
That would be an awesome.
But you're not gonna get a cute young tan Harry Hamlin. That's for sure.
There is no such thing as a cute Harry Hamlin.
Watch Clash of the Titans. Clash of the Titans again, my friend.
Feel nice.
Sister,
come on.
And then any idea how many times
snap, snap,
and then making
snap,
making love.
Man, you guys ought to get your own show.
You're on it!
I wouldn't do Harry Hamlin with somebody else's.
B. Arthur's dick? I stole that joke.
Sal, save us. What's your top of the stack?
Arthur's dick.
The ghost of Centrist just reached out of the ground. And
got sassy.
I had two books that I really enjoyed.
One book.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which one I enjoyed more. I'm going to go with Avengers: The Initiative, number 3, which I didn't expect to like that book at all. I really have not been thrilled with Civil War and the whole Iron Man as a S.H.I.E.L.D. guy and the Initiative. I really didn't have any expectation to enjoy that book, but Dan Slott's I think has done a nice job on that book. The book has become much more than I thought it would be. There was better stories and more interesting characters. And it's just kind of like a fun superhero book, but with a bit more than that behind it.
We all knew Dan Slott was a good writer, but he has a little bit more substance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's still got, you know, sort of his funny, you know, stuff in it, but the characters are much more intriguing, and, you know, I didn't expect to like any of them. I didn't expect to care. You figure you come up with a bunch of new, young, you know, hotshot superheroes that probably aren't going to be around for very long, and you just wouldn't give a shit about them. But they've actually become interesting characters, and the last one was more of a singular story on one character called Komodo, who it turns out actually was a student of Dr. Connors, the lizard, the original lizard, and perfected his serum for herself and became this creature called Komodo. But she's in control of it, unlike him. That's how she perfected it. And so they take her out of this class, and they send her in the field to go after Spider-Man.
And I don't want to get too much into the rest of what happens in the story, but really, that's sort of the surface of it. The rest of it's really what I found more interesting, because it has to do with what S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to do to, like, the next step in the initiative, and taking care of people that are unlicensed that won't stop using their powers, and what they're willing to do next. If you read in She-Hulk, you have seen what's happened with her. And it has to do with the same technology.
Fascists.
So they're going after Spider-Man the same way, and then at the very end we get another surprise of something that harkens back to the original Civil War and Spider-Man and Iron Man and everything. So I just thought it was a good issue in a series of three good issues, and it was way more than I ever expected.
Who does the art on that?
God, I don't even know off the top of my head.
Yeah, actually, I'm not a fan of the art on that book. That's why why I dropped it. I read the first issue and enjoyed the story, but I wasn't a fan of the art. So.
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't have it in front of me. If somebody wants to run and go grab it.
Somebody Google.
My internet's down at the moment. But it is really, like you said, I mean, Dan Slott, you know, I mean, he's done the She-Hulk and the funny stuff, and he's really good at that, but this was something a bit different and kind of stretching his...
I'm guessing that Dan Slott is going to be on a much higher profile book here real soon.
No more fixing copiers?
No more fixing copiers. I think Dan Slott's going to...
But I bet he's damn good at that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my guess is... If you recall what he did for Free Comic Book Day, I think that is going to be his new book. So that's just a guess.
I agree. Thanks,
just a guess.
Spider-Man.
That
is so secret.
I think
don't
he's
be
gonna,
so coy.
I think he's going to take.
Yellow jacket.
I think he's going to take over after Straczynski's gone. But we'll see.
My other top of the stack. I just want to mention. Since we have time, we're waiting for Tom. Punisher Max. Garth Ennis, and I just think I wish that. Garth Ennis would write the next Punisher movie, because it's, I mean, you take any of the arcs of the Punisher Max series and any one of them would be a better movie than that.
Oh,
than any Punisher movie that's
I've only
been made
ever
at this
read
point.
The Barracuda one, which I liked a lot.
It was
the art was awesome.
It was awesome.
Up is down, Black is White would be an awesome movie. An awesome movie.
See, I haven't read any of the others, but Punisher was hardly even in it. He didn't even have to be in it.
Yeah.
Mother Russia was a great arc.
The regular Punisher stuff is a little less sort of over the top than the Barracuda.
I liked it.
Oh, I liked it too. I really like the Barracuda, but I almost feel guilty from reading it because it's just like so. Yeah, it's just like.
All right, well, I think they're waiting for the initiative.
All right. Well, anyway,
John and Tom are over there talking about.
All right. Well, anyway,
edited.
All right. Well, those are top of the stacks, but now it's time for future stacks.
Oh, good.
It's a look.
Why do you call it? It's not future stacks.
Future stacks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I do that just to annoy you.
Anyway,
this is...
in 3 days.
These are...
That's how far in the future these are.
These are some books that are coming out this week.
I didn't pick them this week, so if you don't like the picks, blame him.
Just a few things to keep your eye out for. From Dark Horse Comics, BPRD, Garden of Souls, number 4 of 5. Be out this week. From DC Comics, DMZ, number 20. Fables, number 62. Jack Kirby's Fourth World Omnibus, Volume 1 is going to be out.
That's a good deal for $50.
Yeah, if you got
a lot of stuff.
A spare $49.99, you may want to take a look at that. Stormwatch, PhD, number 8.
It's not all of it. It's just Volume 1.
Yeah, it's
volume
just the first volume. Stormwatch, PhD, which in our Comics Under the Radar episode, I think we all agree that is one that more people should be checking out. From Image Comics, Elephant Men Pilot will be out this week. That's now that is not the first of the War Toys, right?
No, it's something completely separate. I believe it's just a one-shot.
Okay.
I have no idea. Elephant Man has about nine different...
Yeah. Don't try and follow any type of continuity.
They all
pick it up and read it.
They all kind of work on their own. Coming out from Marvel Comics, Blade number 10. If you haven't picked up Blade yet,
pick it up before it's canceled.
It's too late. It's already canceled.
Yeah, you got two more issues. So
I'm on this list twice.
Yeah.
You are? Oh, Cable Deadpool.
Well, gee,
you love me.
I wonder why I put Cable Deadpool on there.
What's on the cover of 41? Do you remember?
doing it? I know you did it a while ago.
It's on, I think it's Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Of course, we're on the cover.
Wolverine, Deadpool.
Nice. Yeah. There's a seller right there. New X-Men number 39. Scotty, is it Purdy?
Sweet. Yeah, no, it's on this issue, on the first issue on 38, Marvel wanted me to have an inker to go a little faster, but it ended up being a little quicker for me, so I'm back on my own inks again after that one little issue hiatus. So I'm a little bit more, not that the inker was bad at all, but I was able to put my mind at rest a little bit and be a little bit more comfortable with...
Because you're a control freak.
I am, yes. Huge ego, control freak. Just saying. Yeah.
So, new X-Men number 39 by Mr. Young here. Fallen Son, Death of Captain America, Spider-Man is going to be out. New Avengers number 31, and this is the one that...
We found out who Ronan is?
No.
Oh.
No, but
damn it.
But Marvel alerted retailers to over order on this. Apparently there's...
Biggest deal ever since there was a big deal.
I don't know if it's going to be a Death of Captain America type big story, but Marvel has been pretty on the nose about alerting retailers when big things are going to happen. So,
hey, last time they didn't, everybody bitched. So
exactly. Yeah, so
fun.
Yeah. Punisher War Journal number 8, World War Hulk number 1 of 5.
Finally,
Submariner number 1.
Another Submariner series.
And wrapping things up from Devil's Due Publishing. Tim Seeley's Hex/ number 2.
Can I make a request?
Sure.
For a future stack? Could you put some more trades?
Yeah.
Because I'm more interested in knowing what trades are coming out.
Okay.
Me personally.
Sure, we could do that.
I think that'd be
a good suggestion.
Amazon.com.
All right. So that's our future stacks. Got a couple listener emails here. Sal, what's our first one?
I said, hey, I just started listening to the podcast. I'm only on episode 10 right now, and I really enjoy the discussion. The only problem I have is that I listen to the show at work, which primarily consists of driving, and am not able to note comic titles, artists, and creators that are discussed on the show. Still, I'd love to look them up. Is there any way to add these things to the episode summaries you have posted on the site? Nothing detailed. Maybe just listing each person's top shelf or top of the stack picks. Shelf. And suggested titles, artists to check out that were covered in each episode. If something like this already exists, and I just haven't found it yet, then could you put me in the right direction and disregard this email? Thanks. Loving the show so far. Looking forward to hearing past and future discussions. Jason.
Jason, just go to ScottyYoung.com. You'll be good.
First of all, Jason, thank you for starting from the beginning, I guess.
10 down, 98 to go.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And if
Scotty, I swear to God, it's called... pulling a Scotty Young now.
Well, you listen to every fucking episode.
Yeah, that's a hard way to go.
We actually
those
tell
are
people
ones
not
tough.
To listen to our first four.
We do all the time.
Yeah, we took our first three off the feed. But Jason, and for everyone else out there that wants to go back and find our old top of the stacks and old show notes, I can't tell you exactly what, but there is something coming.
Well, we do have. We were doing it for a while. I was keeping up with Top of the Stacks and listing it on the site. And then we kind of fell off from that. But there is something that's going to come out on its way.
Details to follow.
Yeah, and it'll have a lot of information.
All right. There are some other ways to interact with the show, Sal. Why don't you tell folks about becoming friends of the program?
Show up and yell
at us. Join our friends of the program. Go to our site. You can download the LCS Challenge Flyer. Ask your LCS manager or owner if they'll display it in the store, or just put it up yourself when they're not looking.
Yeah.
If they do, send us an email. We'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post a link of it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
Also today, you should go visit us at other places, such as Comic Space, which is www.comicspace.com/aroundcomics, or MySpace, www.myspace.com/aroundcomics, or visit us at whatever social networking site we don't know about and aren't on, because we're not young and cool.
You can take me up on my personal favorite, which is leaving us an iTunes music review. Special thanks to Spencer Douglas, The Exclaimer, The Glass Piano, Adam DeMars, and AJM Cinema.
Terry Gross, I'm expecting one.
Yeah.
Did I throw everyone off?
Jonah Prepper, Map. We had some people join. Paradiddle, who's a longtime listener, but I guess he...
Mm-hmm. Maps are great.
He's from El Cerrito, California. He said, was great to meet y'all in April. Keep up the awesome work. Well, thank you. Jun Bob Kim from Longview, Texas. Some funny stuff you guys got going in on your show. Guys.
Nice.
This next one's interesting. Yeah. Dustman from Roseburg, Oregon says, my wife is a big comic fan as I am. Well, now, right. What is he trying to get from us?
He's bragging.
Yeah, my wife. Yeah, it's it's like he's bragging.
Your wife and girlfriends don't like comics. Mine does.
Then we have one from John Ship A from Glendale, California that says, Beebleborf.
There's Chad from Traverse City, Michigan. That is the hometown of one Mr. Jeffrey Brown, correct? Isn't that Traverse City?
No, that's not Traverse City. He's from Grand Rapids.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Grand Rapids. Sorry. Thank you, Around Comics, for keeping your stick on the ice.
I'll put my stick somewhere.
It's a hockey
reference. And Chris from Roanoke, Virginia, is totally digging Around Comics. Keep up the great work, guys.
You know what else we're doing great? It's called a website. Check it out. And all the great things that we offer.
This is the best
comic book news, reviews, and opinions.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcast at comicspodcasts.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at www.aroundcomics.com. Let's keep it going!
I'd like to thank Borders for sponsoring the episode. In an effort to help mice thrive, despite dangerous predatory attacks, the Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, the Guard discovers a traitor in its midst. Get your copy of the handsomely illustrated Mouse Guard by David Peterson at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
You know what isn't a .com? The Hero Initiative. You know why? Because it's good for people. Yeah, it's .org. We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org, which means they have a little halo around their head. Unlike companies, which are evil. Or call 310-909-7809.
And remember to take us up on our Be a Hero contest. Thank you to everyone that has donated so far. We are almost at our $500 goal. So keep giving. We appreciate it. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Steve, Eric. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong people.
I want to thank Thomas Edison for the electricity that allowed us to record.
Real quick, Comic Book Queers, what do you got coming up?
Yeah.
God, what do we have coming up? We have an episode coming up. I'm really delighted by this. An episode all about smut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in it.
You are it.
Yeah. Actually, get
you are
get
smart.
Starring.
Tom Gators.
I'm in it.
All right. Crossover episode soon. We need to do one.
Isn't that what this was?
Yeah. What?
No.
Oh, you want to come into our place?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Fuck you.
I want to go to Candyland. Is that where you guys take Candyland?
Back, fucker.
Steve's apartment.
Thanks to Dave Wachter, as always. Tom, Sal.
Microphones.
Have a good couple days. I'm so tired.
I love you guys.
You know why you're tired? Because it's like fucking
get out of
1
my
in
house.
The goddamn morning.
It's fucking 3 a.m.
People are tired at 1 in the morning.
We held the seance at midnight for Sundress's ghost.
Have a wonderful couple days. We'll be back on Thursday with our talk about the Savannah College of Art and Design and their sequential art program with Professor Jeremy Mullins and a couple graduate students along for our discussion there. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around
comics.
We done now?
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone?